for us here before we come to the service today. Right? We've got a venue. You wouldn't believe how hard it is right now to find something like that. Very difficult. And so we thank God it's right here where our church meets. The kids are getting excited about coming, and we're working to already start to try to let kiddos know about this, invite them to come. You know, the last HBC, Holly Bible Club, that we had here in Auburn, I think, was either 2018, 2017. Nelson at that time was 7 or 8, I think. And, you know, we live right across from the play park. Our house is right across the road here, overlooking the play park. And for his team, he got pretty excited about inviting people to come because they get a lot of points from their team. And so he saw kids out there at the park. He would come get us. He'd come get a flyer. We'd go over to the park. We'd go invite them to come. So I said to them this past week, as we realized that we're going to do this, that I'll make a deal with my kids. And I'm going to make a deal with all the kids at the church. Jason, you don't want to listen to this, all right? If you get a child to come, every child that comes, I'll give you a pound. Right? I made this with my kids. I told my kids this. I'll give you a pound. Listen, I know it's not going to break the bank on my end. It's a good investment. And God rewards those that serve Him. So I don't think it's really a misappropriation of funds to do something like that. I think it's fun for the kids. And I hope they participate and go, hey, I want to bring some kids. That goes for visitors too. Tell them, look, you bring a friend, you get a pound. All right? Go ahead and tell them and see if it helps. But as I said that to my kids, and I'm studying for this message, you know, Romans 1:16. We'll look at what it says in just a second. Matt comes down and he says, "There's three kids at the park, you know, and he wants to go invite them, right? Because we talked about that, and that was great on the part of Matt. But I want you to know the something about me that you might not expect. You might think that Pastor Ben does evangelism every week, and I do. I get out and get flyers every week. Every week I'm talking to people about the gospel. But I face the same battle, maybe on a different level, that everybody in here faces. And that is this. Thoughts like this begin to go through your mind. You know, what if they say no? What if they don't like me? You know, you go up to them, interrupt their day. What if they don't like me? You know, what will they think of us, but more importantly, me? You know, I'm going to the back, but what are they going to think about me? They probably don't want to come to church. They might even laugh, you know, if I invite them to come. They may be rude and act like I did something I shouldn't have done. But guess what? Mac and I went and invited them, and were they nice? They were super nice. And the parents were super kind. And these kids might come. And their sweet little voice, pray that they come. I hope they do come because we invited them. You know, you and I are surrounded by opportunities to give the gospel every single day. And you could look at that, you know, every day, every week, every month, every year, we come into contact with people, and they are people that need to hear the gospel. Again, this past month, I've been doing evangelism. God has given numerous opportunities to share the gospel. And as I spoke with people, I've spoken, you know, with a man named Tommy this past week in Livingston that Hope is going to go and visit Pastor Don Dillman's church. But God gave me a great opportunity to sit on a park bench with him and go through the gospel with him. Janice, 2 weeks before that, on the same park bench, I sat and I shared the gospel with Janice. Her brother had been buried the day before, but I had opportunity to sit there and speak with her. I can name numbers of people in this area that are door-to-door opportunities that God has given in the last month. We've knocked on their door, spoke with them. Even yesterday, God gave my wife and I a great opportunity just knocking on a person's door, just engaging in conversation. Several opportunities yesterday. One to confront a man with the gospel that doesn't believe in God. Another with a man that was more open to maybe visiting our church sometime. And so we have these opportunities. But there's opportunities like God gave me with the boys this past week as we went cycling. And a man helped us get back to the path. We were doing the Heart Trail over in Falkirk. It's 16 miles. It's unmarked trails almost. It's not very good. It's got kind of a crude map and bad signage. And this man helped us get back to where we were going. And I told him I didn't have a track on me. I said, "Do you go to church?" He said, "No." I said, Our church is freebaptistchurch.org. I said, check it out. I said, there's something out there called the Journey. I just want you to check that out if you get a chance. And I said, Journey like this, you know. And I just said that to him. And the man went, got on the Journey. He messaged me from the web page that we've got, the YouTube channel, The Journey. Morey is his name. Pray for him. You know, I pass people regularly when I'm out walking. And this past week, as I walked past the man that I see frequently, he works nights, so he's walking back. I'm walking out. You know, this time I invited him to visit the church. All I'm saying is there are people about us kind of everywhere. There are opportunities continually to give people the gospel. And I'm just going to ask us tonight, why do we pass those by? Why are we missing those opportunities? You know, we can think about it tonight and think, well, you know, we're too busy, maybe. Too unconcerned, probably. Too preoccupied. Too unprepared. And those should be valid things that we think about. Probably have a lot of reasons tonight to say, this is why I'm missing these opportunities. But I want to suggest to us tonight that perhaps the reason that we're not taking these gospel opportunities is that we are ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand tonight that's a strong statement. That's like saying to an unbeliever, the truth about their condition before God. They say they love God, but in reality, they despise God because they're living contrary to God. It's a statement like that that is jarring to our the way that we think, because we'd say tonight, with all we hope to say, what we're going to say in a second is, I am not ashamed of the gospel. But let me just again say to us tonight that perhaps the main reason we don't share the gospel is because we are ashamed of the gospel. And if we stop and think about it, because you might say, I don't think so. Well, let me just ask this. Why do I hesitate then to tell people about Jesus? If I'm not ashamed of it, why do I hesitate to say something? If I'm not involved regularly in evangelism, because, you know, if you just stop and think about it, you know, we've got different opportunities as a church to give out the gospel. Nobody has to be a part of our organized evangelism here at church, but they can be if they want to be. But everybody can do evangelism in their own area with the time that they have. But if they're not doing that, again, the question would be, why not? And I would say this. If it has anything to do with the fear of man, then the reason I'm not giving the gospel is because I'm ashamed of the gospel. Because that's what the fear of man is. I care about what they think about what? The gospel. Why would I be ashamed of the gospel? Jesus said in Luke 9:26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." And so if I'm ashamed of the gospel, if I'm ashamed of Jesus and the Word of God, if that shames me before man, and I don't get victory over that, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ returns, that he's going to be ashamed of me. I don't want that. And again, I've already admitted to that, right? Speaking about the battle that takes place in my heart as I think about taking an evangelistic opportunity. And so we want to say tonight, by God's grace, I don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. Satan wants me to be ashamed. He's going to seek to make me ashamed. So by God's grace, I want to be somebody that's proud of the gospel. I want to be somebody that is unashamed, like our text says. And so it says here tonight in our text, there's just one verse that I'm preaching on tonight. Romans 1 verse 16. And so if you find that in the Bibles there, look down to verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And so I want to preach that tonight. Listen, I'm going to preach like I'm sitting down there and challenging myself not to be ashamed. Because I understand tonight, I struggle with this. And I want victory in this area over this. But can you say with Paul tonight, can you say it from your heart, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By God's grace, that's what we need to have. And let's pray for that tonight. That's got to help us through this study of this verse. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. I thank you that the Word of God is light. Father, I thank you that it's confrontational. And Father, truth divides. Truth either repulses or truth attracts. And Father, we ask tonight that we be attracted to the truth and that we really examine our heart and say, you know what? If I were to be honest, I'd have to say I'm ashamed of the gospel. And Father, we shouldn't be. We should be able to say with Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Father, each one tonight that's listening to the Word of God can't listen as they ought without the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I ask for the Spirit of God to minister the truth of the Word of God. We pray what Paul asked to be prayed for his preaching, that the Word of God would have recourse, that it be unhindered. Father, there be a holy hush in our hearts as we listen to the Word of God tonight. And Father, I can't preach without your enablement, but I pray, please, that the Spirit of God will give me liberty tonight as I express the truth of the Word of God. Give me a deep love of my heart for my congregation tonight, each one that's here. Lord, we're thankful for each one that's here. And I want to encourage each one, by God's grace, to really grab hold of this truth. And so I pray for liberty tonight as I preach. I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to minister the truth to our hearts. Lord, I pray for any that would hear this message that are not saved. Father, I pray that they'd understand why the gospel is so vital, so important, so life-changing. And Father, I pray even tonight, or when they hear this message online, the Spirit of God will speak to their hearts. And Father, that they get saved. I thank you for the grace, help, guidance, and wisdom you give. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so do not be ashamed to tell the gospel, is what I want to preach tonight. Do not be ashamed to tell the gospel. And so do not be ashamed to say, I have good news for you. All right, don't be ashamed to say, I've got good news for you. Notice what it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now you probably know this, but the gospel is good news. It means a good message. You know, have you ever had good news that you just couldn't wait to share? You're just excited about it? And when we think about that, probably think about what I think about. That's baby news, right? That phone call. The storm has come. You know, baby is coming. And then that phone call that comes about 9 months later or 8 months later, you know, say, the baby has come. And then after that, the baby is eating solid foods. The baby is walking. The baby is talking. The baby is playing basketball, playing football. The baby is, you know, is graduating from high school. The baby just got married. The baby just wrote a book. I mean, it just gets better and better. It's always exciting to get on the phone and to pick that up. And I would say this, generally, when it's good news, we're kind of shameless. Right? I mean, so that, you know, we'll pull out the portfolio, you know, and take an exorbitant amount of time just to go through those pictures, you know, that are still important to us, or tell a story very long, you know, because it is something that we're proud of, something that is very good news that we desire to share with others. Again, tonight, as we go to these people, we're going to share the gospel. We've got great news. We've got news that is amazing news. And the news is this. Your debt has been paid. That's a great thing to go to somebody and say, you know, tonight or today, I just want to let you know that your debt has been paid. Some of you know the story about our son, Logan, tall guy up here. You know, Logan had major surgery as a baby. And the result of that surgery, it was great surgery, God provided, God blessed, but our insurance company in the States claimed something that was wrong. And because they claimed that, they refused to pay on the surgery. The cost of the surgery, we thought, was $30,000. We had a $30,000 bill. But as we looked at it, we actually realized it was two different bills. They were within a matter of a few hundred dollars, one of the other. And so we had two bills for $30,000. So we had a $60,000 medical bill back in 2006. Well, the story again is we prayed about it for 2 years. God graciously provided through a foundation, the Posada Foundation. And they negotiated with the hospital. The hospital allowed them to pay a reduced rate. They paid the debt off. It was paid in full. You know, I wasn't shy to let people know that. They've been praying for quite some time. We were relieved to get that phone call saying to us, the debt has been paid. It was a great thing. You know, it's a great thing tonight to say to somebody that is in sin debt, the wages of your sin is death. There's a great debt, and that's why the Bible speaks about sin as a debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, because it's speaking about I transgress, I sin, I owe, I'm in judgment to God. I must pay, but Christ paid it all. Praise God on the cross when Jesus said those words, it is finished. What's it mean? Paid in full. Now, again, that's the news that we have. We go to an unbeliever, we knock on their door, we don't know who they are, but we know this. They have a sin debt before God. If the price is incredible, it's eternity in hell, and we can stand there at their door and say, look, the debt has been paid. Again, we've got good news, praise God, to share with them. But then we can tell them as well the good news that God loves you and God desires you. It's an amazing thing when love can stand against sin or something transgression or something like that. In a marriage that sadly is adultery is committed, it's a horrible sin, really hurts that relationship. But at times, there's a beauty that you can see of love, and that is love that is faithful, love that is strong for the children, for the parents, for the other spouse that was wrong, that looks at that one that transgressed and says, I still love you. And that's the way it is with God tonight. We can tell somebody, look, you have transgressed against God. You have sinned against God. And yet, praise God tonight, we can tell them, God loves you. The song says, it's just like His great love. It says, a friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, howe'er 'tis tried, no matter what I do. I sinned against this love of His, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt to Him, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like His great love. Now, that's a great thing, but to stand at somebody's door and say that. You probably know this without me saying this, but I and my wife lived pre-texting and almost pre-emails. I have to, I guess so, right? Pre-emails, pre-texting. And so what we've got in our day was a piece of paper and a pen. And we would write love letters. Max, I'm paying attention. Are you good? Love letters to one another, letting us know of the affection that we have towards one another. You know, praise God tonight. God's got a love letter written with the blood of His Son found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, it's a precious thing for us tonight to be able to go to somebody and say, I just want you to know, your sin debt has been paid. There's a God in heaven tonight that loves you and that cares about you. And so praise God for that. Don't be ashamed to say to somebody, I have good news for you. Secondly, do not be ashamed to say that the Messiah, the Christ, has come. Margaret, if you need to switch seats because of the sun, you're welcome to. I just noticed the sun's coming out here. Okay, do not be ashamed to say that the Messiah, the Christ, has come. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Okay, the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word Christ in the New Testament means Messiah. Okay, it's the one that the Bible spoke about, that He would come, that deliver the anointed one. And the Bible speaks about it in Isaiah 53, the Christ. It says, He is despised and rejected men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid us and wore our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You know, our family enjoys watching some mysteries and, the old black and white Sherlock Holmes and the deductive reasoning. And if you're to be a person like that, studying this mystery back in the day, you'd read that testimony of that person and you'd be like the Ethiopian eunuch that looks at that and says, who is this man speaking of, this prophet? Is he speaking of himself or some other man? Philip would have to come, or somebody else would have to come and explain the mystery. And say, it's Jesus. It's the Christ that had to suffer. It's the Christ that had to die. It's what Paul preached in Acts 17 and verse 1. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ, the Messiah, must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Paul came as the explainer, the preacher of the gospel, saying, this is the Christ. The Christ had to die. The Christ had to go in the grave. The Christ had to rise from the dead. And this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. You know, again, as we look at the gospel means a good message. Well, if I were to go back to Isaiah 53 and say, this is a good message, think about these words, despised, rejected, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, despised, esteemed not, bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows, stricken, spit, and afflicted of God. We look at that and say, that doesn't sound like it is good news. It sounds like very sad news. It sounds like something very tragic. But the good news is this, that Jesus Christ died for our sins. The good news is to us that because of what Christ did, man can be forgiven. It's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and where ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Okay, so what is the good news? The good news is this, by which ye are saved. Christ died for our sins, praise God. It's like in the Old Testament, we've been studying the book of Hebrews on Thursday nights, and in that study, we've looked at the great high priest. We've looked back at the day of atonement, the earthly high priest would go in and offer that sacrifice. And that sacrifice would appease the wrath of God, and that sacrifice would take the sin of those people away. And on that day of atonement, there would be rejoicing. Why? Because God accepted the sacrifice. But what we rejoice in today is so much better. That is that the great high priest, Jesus Christ, paid our sacrifice in full, and that through him all people have opportunity to have their sin completely forgiven. It's the gospel of Christ. You know, again tonight, why would I be ashamed? But, you know, am I ashamed tonight of what Jesus Christ did on the cross as he died for me? Am I ashamed of what he did as he died on the cross for the sins of that person? Why would I hesitate tonight to say to somebody the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So we ought to boldly declare it and say, hey, I've got good news. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And then third, tonight, do not be ashamed to say, you must follow God's way. You must follow God's way. It says, again, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for
it is. It is. For it is. It is. I mean, that is it. That is God's way. That is God's plan. We've been getting a bit of a medical education, during the pandemic, haven't we? About how drugs work and treating things. And, if they had a breakthrough drug that would help with COVID, and there have been times where they've come across something that really helps either deal with the symptoms or deal specifically with the illness and has saved a lot of lives. But they find that out through trials. And so they take somebody that has COVID, somebody else that has COVID, they give a person a drug, they give another person a placebo. The placebo is fake. It's not real. It's just it's a pill that does nothing, but they give both so that they can see what truly works. And when they find something, then they begin the process of educating people and saying, this works, this helps, tell the doctors, tell the nurses, so that they can administer that drug that might help. And with drugs, there might be multiple things that would help. But we know tonight, when it comes to man's need tonight, that there is only one way to treat man's sin, and that is with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Okay, it's not an option. It is the option. It's not suggested. It's commanded. They obey nothing else. Why? Because it is the way for man to be saved. Acts 4, verse 11 says, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You and I know tonight that people are dying and going to hell. We know tonight that Jesus Christ is the only way, and that salvation is in nothing else, just like this verse says, for it is. It's the only way. We ought to be tonight unashamed to declare it. We ought to be unashamed tonight to say to somebody that we meet, some stranger, somebody that helps us, to be able to say to them, look, you need to follow God's way. Why should I be ashamed to say that? Because it's the only way. But tonight you might be like me and you think, Pastor Ben, I get that, I'm burdened about that. I understand it's the only way. I want to say it, but I'm just scared to say it. Well, let's do what the apostles did. And that is, they spent time with Jesus and they spent time in their knees and they asked God to help them to share the gospel. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, there's a testimony given about the apostles being bold. And there might be times you look at somebody and you think that person is bold, but what you don't understand is that if you look at their boldness, what you see is the boldness of Jesus Christ. That person of himself, Paul didn't say of himself, well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He said, by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the enablement of the Spirit, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, just like these disciples in Acts chapter 4. It says in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Now, these guys are being persecuted for preaching the gospel. And these unsaved men look at them, and they see boldness in them, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They identified the source of their boldness, and it was Christ. Verse 23, they get back to their brethren. They've been commanded not to preach in Jesus' name. They've been beaten for preaching in Jesus' name. They report to them what has happened. In verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. They prayed. And they said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus,
whom thou hast anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. What did the disciples do? Were they just, SC, super Christians? No. They were DC, dependent Christians. They were people that got on their knees before God and said, God, we need boldness because we got to speak this out. They prayed about it. And the Bible goes on to say, verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And again tonight, my dear pastor, I want to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but I struggle in my evangelism. I just want to take a pause and say, remind us of the source of our confidence, the source of our strength. And that is this: we do need to pray. We do need to ask God. We can't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I'm going to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. We've got to say, God, by grace, I am dependent upon you to give me the boldness that I need. I understand what we looked at tonight. I've got to give the gospel. And so, God, I'm asking you to give me the boldness that I need. So do not be ashamed, though, tonight, of the only way that men can be saved. And then, for tonight, do not be ashamed to say your life can be changed. Do not be ashamed tonight to say your life can be changed. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. You know, I've met people this past month that their life represented some of the truth that we sung tonight. I think it was the third hymn that we have sung about. And that is, there are people in situations of desperateness, situations of sin, situations of their life being consumed by sin that you and I have never experienced, that we have not faced that level of temptation, that bondage that they're in their life. In this past month, I met a man that had an abusive father. So abusive that he said that his mom died as a brain hemorrhage that was from the beatings that his dad gave to his mom. I've met a man that was an addict for 25 years and had that sin bondage that was in his life. I've met another man that is bitter against his siblings because they fought over the inheritance that they've had, and it's embittered their lives. There's a lot of things in people's lives, things that are hard things, things that are difficult things, but by the grace of God, the power of God is such that God has the ability to set them free from those things. The gospel is transformative. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, it says, know ye not that being righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way that somebody that's in that lifestyle is on their way to heaven, and these are tough things, idolaters, fornicators, adulterers, and yet the Bible says this, and such were some of you. Praise God. What's that mean? Tonight it means that was their life before Christ, but by the grace of God, they were set free. It's what the newspaper in Edinburgh reported about Charlotte Street Chapel back in 1904 to 1906 when revival took place there. They said a religion that would change drunkards and wife beaters into godly husbands and good parents is a religion worth because it's powerful. We have something tonight that would absolutely change men's lives to the glory of God. There's a story I've shared before about George Mensick. He was in Al Capone's gang in Chicago. But George Mensick got saved. George Mensick went from being probably a hitman in Al Capone's gang to being a man that was a preacher of the gospel, that would go into the prisons and declare Christ to the prisoners. Our church tonight supports a man, Leighton Kelly, in Ireland. Leighton Kelly was for years a heroin addict. But now he's a preacher of the gospel. But now he's the leader of a men's home. He's a missionary that's faithfully serving God. He's a good dad. He's a good husband. He's got a great family. The power of God broke into that man's life and set that man free. And tonight, if we're ashamed of the gospel that has the power to go into that person's life, a person that we don't know, that we care about, and desire to see saved, are we ashamed tonight of the gospel? That's the key. That will set them free from the bondage that they're in. Praise God tonight and give somebody in the face and say, look, your life can be changed. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know you're in bondage. I know you want to be set free. And the gospel can. We ought to be unashamed to give them that message tonight of hope. And so do not be ashamed to say your life can be changed. And then fifth tonight, do not be ashamed to say you don't have to perish. You don't have to perish. It says again in our text, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. If somebody needs to be saved, you understand tonight that it's because they're perishing. We've heard recently about Katie's sister Kelly, about a man that's younger than us. And his mom is very concerned because he's been admitted to hospital with COVID and the doctors have given him very little hope. We're praying for him, asking that God has mercy to raise him up. He's married, you know, and there's things there. You just think, God, please, would you give hope? You know, tonight, if somebody has not received the gospel, there is no hope. That the position that they're in is one of complete hopelessness. There's no chance. They have not one chance in the world of going to glory. Not one chance in the world of seeing God. Not one chance in the world of escaping the fires of hell. It is a certainty tonight, if they have not received the gospel, they will perish. Again, tonight we're ashamed to give them that truth that they need. The Bible says, Revelation 20 verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so we look at that tonight and we say, you know what? Religion won't save them. They can be sincere. They can be faithful. They can be practicing. But religion doesn't save. Their unbelief won't save them. They might think, well, I don't believe in God, so it doesn't matter. I get this all the time when I do evangelism. It doesn't matter to me because I don't believe in God. And they think God disappears, heaven disappears, hell disappears, and it doesn't. So their unbelief tonight doesn't help them. Science won't save them. Their family might be believers, but their family can't save them. And so tonight, if they're on that, they've purchased a ticket on a one-way ship to hell, and the ship is sinking. And it's what the song says tonight that I've sung before, sharing the Word of God this evening by Ella Fitzgerald, throw out the lifeline. It says, throw out the lifeline across the dark lake. There's a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother. Oh, who then will dare to throw out the lifeline? His peril to share. Throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline. Throw out the lifeline. Someone is sinking today. And then he says, why throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong? Why do you tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Oh, hasten today. And out with the lifeline. Away, away. You know, the thing is, tonight, you know, we can, at the church, we can say, we're just not going to do door to door. We can say tonight that, you know, we're just not going to give tracts out anymore. But the thing is, if we do that, we're literally not giving any assistance to somebody that is going to perish for eternity in the lake of fire. We got to stop and say, why am I ashamed of the gospel? Why am I ashamed to give them tonight what they need? They're slipping further and further towards hell by God's grace. I want to give them something that will seek to rescue them from hell. And then tonight, do not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because anybody can be saved. Do not be ashamed tonight, because anybody can be saved. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone." Then it goes on to say to the Jew first and also to the Greek, right? For everyone. It is the answer for anybody. It's the answer for everybody. The gospel is available to all. Praise God tonight for the love that God has given to us, that He has provided a way. In 1904, 1905, there was the Welsh revival that took place. And as that awakening took place, they had a theme song that the Spirit of God gave to the Welsh revival, and it's called "Here Is Love." I just want to sing some of the words to us tonight. Here is love that's past an ocean, loving kindness as a flood, with the prince of life our ransom, shed for us His precious blood. Who His love will not remember? Who can see That's why we need to tell them that is for them. That is for our neighbor. That is for our family. That is for the stranger. That is for Africa. That is for Canada. That is for everybody. That is the power of the gospel. Then lastly tonight, do not be ashamed to say you must believe on Jesus. Don't be ashamed to say that. I mean, that's a powerful truth, isn't it? You must believe on Jesus. Notice what it says. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And the thing is this tonight, Paul said this, the gospel did not profit them being not mixed with faith. The gospel is powerless tonight. I spoke to a man this week. I shared the gospel with him. He's 20 years old. I said to him, look, you went to church. What makes the difference between those for whom Christ died on their way to heaven and those for whom Christ died on their way to hell? And he thought about it. And I said, it's this. Some have believed it and received it. Others have not. And see, tonight, if somebody doesn't have faith, they don't trust in the gospel, they don't believe in Jesus Christ, it's kind of like this, me throwing a light ring to them, saying, you're going to go over the dam, you're going to go over the dam, here's a light ring, and they're kind of like, I can swim. And they don't reach out. And they don't grapple with the light ring. And they perish. It's the power of God to those that believe. It's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. That's what it says. It is there. It's ready for anybody. I praise God tonight. Some people might be watching online. But anybody that by faith will just go, you know what? My life's a mess. Christ is the answer. He died for me. He paid the price for my sin. He didn't stand in the grave. He rose from the dead. I believe in Jesus Christ. Guess what? They get saved. Everlasting life. And the angels rejoice in heaven, and we ought to rejoice on earth. And praise God, we participated in their salvation. How? By not being ashamed of the gospel. You know, tonight, in conclusion, I think about a poem, if you could call it that, that I wrote back when we were traveling, raising support to come to Scotland. And I wrote this. What have you done? There are souls to be won. Did you yell to warn them of eternal doom? Did you go out of your way today? What if Christ had not gone out of his way? What if he in heaven had chosen to stay? There would be hell to pay at the sinner's cost. But Christ paid the debt on Calvary's cross. What have you done? There are souls to be won. Will you yell to warn them of eternal doom? Will you go out of your way today? And it's kind of like this. We're like so focused on our life, so focused on our things. We're just in and out, in and out, that we're too consumed to park our car, get out of our car, go over to somebody and say, look, I just want to give you something that tells you about everlasting life. We're too ashamed tonight of the gospel. We ought to stop and look at it tonight and say, God, that may be me last week, that may be me last month, that may be me last year, but by the grace of God, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then maybe tonight when somebody looks at their heart and says, I'm ashamed of the gospel of Christ because I don't have the gospel in my heart. I just say that person, please get saved tonight. Trust Christ tonight. Don't put it off, this opportunity to have Jesus. Let's pray. As you bow your heads just now, and just please keep your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I just want to ask this tonight. And to be honest, this message helped me. I shared in my witnessing opportunity with that young man and said to him, listen, this is what I'm preaching on Sunday. And that's why I'm being very straightforward with you about the gospel. You know what? He appreciated it, and he told me thank you. I just want to ask you, is the Spirit of God speaking to your heart about not being ashamed of the gospel? Do you have to say to God tonight, God, I'm sorry. I've been ashamed of the gospel. I don't want to be. I want to be like Paul. I want to be able to say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And I just want to confess that tonight, and that God helping me to have boldness, I want to be better at giving the gospel. I am going to give the gospel. Is there anybody like that? Spirit of God will speak to your heart about evangelism and sharing Christ. Anybody like that tonight? Praise God. Is he there? Anybody else tonight? I'm not ashamed. Praise God for that. My hand's up tonight. I want to be better at being unashamed of Christ. Let me ask this as well. Anybody tonight that say, you know, tonight I'd like to accept Christ as my Savior. I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me, but tonight is tonight I want to get saved. I see what Jesus did. He made a way for me to get saved. And I'm just going to raise my hand as a testimony that I am going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Anybody like that tonight? I'd like to pray for you if that's you. All right, let's pray. Father, we just praise you for the grace that you give. Father, I pray for all of us. We all need it tonight. Father, there's so many people that need to hear about Jesus Christ. And Father, as I examine my heart and the greatest battle I face in evangelism is what Paul's speaking about. Being ashamed of the gospel. Father, I pray for boldness tonight. I pray that you fill us with your Spirit. And I pray this week, Lord, when we're ashamed, and we don't speak to somebody for Jesus Christ, I pray that you remind us. And Father, I pray that you prompt us as well. Help us to have tracts in our pocket. Help us to be ready to give the gospel. But I pray, Father, for gospel boldness. And Father, I pray too for anybody that is unsaved, that the Spirit of God is wrestling with their heart to obey the gospel. Father, I pray that they yield. And Father, we long to see people get saved. I pray that we can see fruit from our labors. Father, it's not a responsibility to save people, it's our responsibility to tell them. Help us be faithful. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and we'll sing that hymn here as by way of invitation tonight. Throw out the lifeline. Okay, throw out the lifeline. We'll sing the same four verses that I have sung this evening. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Throw out the lifeline across the dark.